That's all we really want. And actually, this song would have been appropriate if Phil was here as well.
I was going to say.
Because he hiccups like that. It's Wendy Snyder here, and Bill is off today. So, Patty, is it... I've always said Patty Vasquez.
And you say it correctly.
It's not Vasquez?
It is Vasquez, but that's what people say. I'll take that over Vasquez, which is painful to my ears.
I might have called you that, like, the first few times I met you.
Well, I don't recall that. I don't hold... And if you did, I did not hold it against you.
Because, you know, I was a rock jock at the Loop radio station, and I would play ZZ Top and say this is from the album Deguello. I didn't know it was Deguello because okay. I took French in high school.
Well, that's the thing. I barely speak Spanish, so I'm not going to hold anybody accountable for, you know, just trying at least.
So if you say it yourself, you say Vasquez.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I've had people say Velasquez, Sanchez. I hear all kinds of things.
It's not even close.
I know. I know. It's all right. People are taking a swing at it.
All right, Steve Bertrand is here, so he is the norm. We are playing musical chairs today. Bill is off.
Yes, where's Bill off to?
I think he's just taking a vacation day.
All right, fine.
We kind of hoard, both of us kind of love being on the air, so we hoard all our vacation days till the end of the year. And you use them or lose them.
Yes, they don't roll over.
So today is just a fun day. Next week he's getting a colonoscopy. That will not be such a fun day.
That's fun. Are you going to check in with him at the hospital during that?
No, because no. I realize we're completely old now, because as he's getting a colonoscopy, which I will leave him to discuss when
sure.
that happens, as he's doing that on the 7th, I will be getting my second knee replaced.
Oh, Wendy.
So who's having back surgery on that day? Who will be, you know?
A hip replacement. Yeah.
We're trained you good for a hip?
What do you need?
No, I'm in good shape right now.
All right, well, that's what's happening.
No, I mean, I've had my share, so I'm good for a while.
I swear to God, I feel so old. I've had one knee replaced. I blew it out in high school, and it didn't work. Back then, when you had an injury, they just removed all the cartilage.
Right. They scraped it all out.
Yeah, they took it out.
Like, how'd you blow it out?
Doing long jump the first week of mm-hmm. freshman year in high school. Wet sand, I landed, and I planted myself, and the rest of me moved around.
Oh, man. Isn't it amazing when you're in high school, because you feel immortal?
Yep.
Athletes just go all out.
Yep.
You don't
this was in gym class.
Yeah, oh, really?
And I said, you know, I think we should rake the long jumping pit because it had rained the night before. So wet sand as you're long jumping, you don't want it. You want to rake it and get it all kind of in good shape. And it was the last jump of the day, and I was, you know, Joan Jock. So I was like full speed ahead, did it, landed. Something ripped. It was the ACL and a bunch of cartilage.
Oh, no.
Didn't have surgery right away. Just kind of rehabbed. Played a couple years of basketball. And then just walking down the hall, something funky happened. It all locked up. That's when they removed all the cartilage. So I had one replaced, my right one, 11 years ago on December 7th. So now December 7th, 11 years later, I'm getting the left one done.
All because someone didn't rake the sand.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm a little mad about that. I can see holding that on.
I know, but you know, when you're in high school and it's the first week of freshman year, you don't want to start with suing the gym teacher.
No.
Plus, no one sued anyone.
Nobody did. No, we just took our lumps.
Oh. We did.
We really did.
So that's happening. I'm trying to pre-plan everything, and I quit smoking 2 weeks ago.
Congratulations. I didn't know that. I didn't know you still smoked.
I quit for 6 years. I thought I could be a social smoker. Can't.
No. No, it's all or nothing.
So smoked for several years, and this Sunday was 2 weeks I quit smoking. I'm trying to quit before my surgery.
Okay.
And I got shingles, too. So it's
what
like, I don't know. I'm turning into, right before your eyes, I think I should start wearing Depends. Aging right in front of you.
No, the thing is, the fact that you have those things isn't what makes you old. It's the fact that you're telling us.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you I'm not very good at planning ahead, okay? I like to wing things, and if you listen to the show with me and Bill every day, you realize that. So now I have to plan all these things prior to surgery, and I'm not very good at it.
So you have to make sure that someone's going to be able to take care of the house,
clean. Well, my husband.
Stuff. So how about groceries?
My husband.
What are the things that you have to plan ahead then?
Get in to see the dentist, go get your doctor has to sign off on everything. Just so many things. I have to get my hair done.
Okay.
My nails.
Sure. Are you still doing the no chip, by the way? I don't know that we're going to lose the guys right now. Are you still doing the no chip?
I did, but you have to get it off when you have to take it off so you have bare nails when you have surgery because they need to check your circulation.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I had that removed yesterday and just a regular mani so I can... take it off myself. It's just this planning I can't stand. And then we had Thanksgiving in the whole midst of everything. And I have to tell you, this was like the best Thanksgiving I ever hosted.
Really? Why is that?
The turkey tasted the best I've ever had.
Okay, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I overdid mine.
What do you mean?
I think I turned the oven on too high. I was following a Gordon Ramsay recipe, and he was using Celsius, and I had to convert to Fahrenheit. And also, apparently I use Gordon Ramsay because I like to feel badly about myself while I'm cooking. Because, you know, he yells at people, and he seems like he's got everything under control. I had nothing under control. So I'm jealous that you had a good turkey.
It was the best ever.
Was it, it was juicy. Yep.
Chef Hans Aschbacher that we have on the show frequently gave us a dry brine recipe, which basically is just olive oil, Lowry's seasoned salt, kosher salt, pepper, and garlic powder. You mix the powder together, put it in there. The turkey was ready an hour before everyone arrived, which is never the case. And I just put some foil over it, so when I went to carve it and when people were ready to eat, it was still warm. It was juicy. It was awesome.
All right, I want this brine. I need all this to happen next year. I cut, like, onions in half and lemons in half and shoved it in the cavity.
I did that, too. Stuffed it halfway.
And then I had, like, this butter thing with parsley and garlic and lemon, and I was shoving that in the, under the skin and massaging it, and, yeah, I didn't.
What temperature did you go?
375. And I checked it at about two hours and 45 minutes, and it was already beyond whatever temperature it's supposed to be. It was like the internal temperature was 200 degrees.
It wasn't a chicken, was it?
No, I don't think so. Otherwise, it was a fairly large chicken in my oven taking up all the space.
Bertrand, how was your turkey?
Excellent. My mom cooked this. She always does, insists on it. I bring a couple of sides that no one eats. And
did you go Brussels sprouts this year?
I did the shaved Brussels sprouts.
Why?
With...
I love Brussels sprouts.
It was a salad with pecorino cheese in it. Very nice.
Oh, my God. That sounds so good. You and I are the only ones who like Brussels sprouts, I guess.
Had a cranberry relish with rosemary and white balsamic vinegar I'm having for lunch today.
Because nobody ate it.
No one ate
this. This is your last day, though, on leftovers.
We decided yesterday was our last day.
We threw everything out yesterday.
Gone. Yeah.
So I hope he feels okay.
But cranberries, I think, because they have that acidity in it, I think they last a couple more days. I'm saying they do.
I got to bring something up since you mentioned cranberries. My whole life, I have had the Ocean Spray canned cranberry.
With the rings on it?
Yeah. And I know everybody does it, and everybody has a good time, like, making that weird... when it comes out of the can, you just put it on a plate, and you leave it in the can shape.
It's divine.
I love it. It's so good. My mother-in-law tells me, I'm picking up this cranberry relish with some orange in it. She's from Mississippi. And I said, okay, great. You know, hey, no problem. But I still had to have my canned one. So I didn't say, don't worry, don't bring it. I said, yeah, go ahead. But I got my canned cranberry sauce. I put it out. I love it. I have to have it on the table every year. Are there things that you have to have?
I have to have good stuffing, and I have to have good gravy.
Good gravy.
And it was terrible. I made the worst gravy I've ever made in my entire life. Yeah.
Worst ever.
It was nasty. And everywhere the table said it was good. It was more like broth.
Oh.
I messed it up.
All right. Well, we have to talk about this. And 312-981-7200. Is there some staple that you have to have on your table? Like, for instance, we had a friend, Linda, who came, joined us the last 5 years and brought corn pudding, and it was awesome.
Isn't that great?
Jimmy Mack's like, well, you still have to make corn. I said, no, the corn is in the corn pudding. He goes, but my dad and I like the canned corn. I said, then eat it out of the corn pudding. No, you have to have canned corn. So is there something you have to have?
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss it. 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder here. Sitting in Bill Left's seat today is Patty Vasquez.
That's me.
We are the rock chicks, I guess, Patty.
I think so.
Bill Left's off today. Patty Vasquez in his chair. And I'm Wendy Snyder. And we're going to hang out. You're doing the stream with me, too, at noon,
yes,
right?
Yes, I will. If you'll have me.
And then you're doing your show?
Later tonight? I don't know what the plan is.
Why don't you take the night off?
Maybe tomorrow. I don't know. There are a bunch of moms that go out for a movie night once a month, and I never get to go, so I might go with them tomorrow. They're going to go see that Three Billboards movie with...
I am dying to see that.
Is that
with Frances McDormand?
It is, yes.
I'm dying to see that.
I've heard great things about it. So
we were talking about Thanksgiving, and this year, I don't know, it's taken me probably about 8 years to completely nail everything. No stress. I was trying to just do it bit by bit, got everything rolling about 10 in the morning, watching the parade. Do I really need to know? know how big the freaking inflatable is?
Wait, you did
it's about 10 feet long. And
you did everything and you watched the parade? I don't understand.
I was chopping celery I was just taking my time doing everything. I have the shingles, you know.
It's
the mildest case of shingles.
Can I ask where it is?
On my back.
All right.
I mean, I didn't even...
You didn't
nothing
know?
Came to fruition, really. Just a terrible muscle spasm, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, I think my skin is burning. I'm going to go see the doctor, got on the antivirals. All good.
Okay,
most
good.
Mild case ever in the world.
But and now, does that mean it's out of the way? Because it's
no,
basically...
I had it before, too.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
I should be. You know, Kim Gordon is the sweetest woman who works here. She's so sweet, so nice. And she goes, oh, I feel so bad that you have shingles. I thought you already got a new roof. I'm like, Kim,
oh,
man, even
man.
You.
Wow. Ouch.
We were talking about Thanksgiving, though, and I nailed everything. You kind of screwed up your gravy. What happened?
Oh, I tried, like, again, Gordon Ramsay, I was following everything he said with his butter mixture that I slid under the skin and rubbed the thighs and the breasts, and it was supposed to use all the drippings and then take out all the stuff from the cavity, and then you're supposed to, like, you know, break it down in the roasting pan, and it was just bad.
So all the stuff you took out of the cavity, the veggies and onions and things, you would smash down into the drippings.
Get all the juice out of it. You're supposed to put rosemary in there. You're supposed to put a little bit of dry cider. And here's the thing. I might not have used dry cider. I might have used regular cider.
What is dry cider?
I have no idea. So I just asked my husband to grab me some cider from the grocery store. Right? I'm like, hey, pick up some of this. And it was awful. Everybody at the table said it was good. And they were very kind about it. You know when something's good.
Yeah.
You know when everyone's just being nice. It was too, I think the lemon in it too made it too zingy, too citrusy.
Plus, if you're putting lemon and cider, you got some zing, baby.
It was so bad. It was awful. And it was also thin. It was like just like broth on the... You want it to cling.
Yeah.
You want it to be gravy.
Goopy almost.
Thank you. Goopy is exactly what it needed to be. I needed it to be... A friend of mine told me I should have slurried it. I don't know what slurrying. I don't know. I didn't put enough flour in there. I have no idea. It was awful, Wendy.
I want to know what dry cider is.
It's probably something in England that I can't get here. What's dry cider?
I don't know.
He was making things up. Well, and do you ever do that with a recipe? You're like, well, I'll just kind of get something that sounds close to that.
I guess dry cider, would it be like a dry champagne? You know how you have brut and then you have dry? Is it more? I don't know. I would expect it to be powdered cider, which maybe would have made it thicker.
Oh, you know? Okay, fine then. It looked like... Okay, I can see where some of the mistakes were made along the way. I see where you're going with this. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry that was everything else good?
It was fine, but to me, the gravy pulls it together because you put that on the mashed potatoes, you put that on the turkey, I even like it on my stuffing. So without the gravy, it doesn't pull it all together. So I was a little, and everyone seemed very nice about it. But,
well, what are they going to say? You totally ruined Thanksgiving,
well,
Patty.
Well, the turkey was dry because I overcooked it.
Oh, that's right. Wow, you really screwed it up.
Yeah, I screwed the pooch. Yeah, it was bad. Or the turkey.
All right, we were wondering what you guys like on your table that you just have to have year after year. Carl, what are you thinking?
Hi, Wendy. I've got to have stuffing that's stuffed in the bird. My wife won't have anything to do with it. So she makes her own stuffing, but I've got to do my stuffing, and it's got to be cooked in the bird.
I do two stuffings. One is in the turkey. I stuff it 2 hours into cooking time, so it's halfway done. And I got to be honest with you, it's kind of gross putting the stuffing in the half-cooked turkey because it's still kind of bloody inside, I got to tell you. But, you know, it's going to cook.
Oh, and it's delicious. I mean, it gets the taste from the bird. And my wife's stuffing gets very, very good. I mean, she gets the croutons and everything, and I put the bread out on the counter and let it dry for a couple of days and do that. But, you know, I've just got to, it's got to be in the bird.
I'm with you for that, Carl. Thank you for calling. I hope it was a great turkey day.
Is it because of the blood in the partly cooked turkey?
No, typically, it's what you grow up with. My aunt always stuffed the turkey, always. She'd do it the morning of and put it in the oven, and that's what I used to do. And then again, Chef Han said, you know, we prefer you don't stuff a turkey, but if you have to, cook the turkey till about halfway.
That makes sense.
And then you put hot stuffing in the hot turkey, and then you finish it up. No one got sick.
Yes, well, and that's the thing, because we talked about this briefly about Dean. Honestly, I mean, there's a moment where I go, did I cross-contaminate? Yep. Did I not wash my hands? Was there raw turkey splashing, you know, on other dishes? There was some concern on my part, too, on Thursday. So.
My hands are so raw from washing them 100 times,
yes.
Because you say the raw turkey juice splashing onto something in your drain board, it's like, so you rewash everything.
You have to keep washing that cutting board.
I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, they texted us 312, must have black pitted olives included on the Thanksgiving table. My brother-in-law needs to have, we laughingly call it accoutrement.
Okay.
And basically all it is the cream cheese on the celery with paprika, the black olives, the green olives, the baby gherkins, the bread and butter sweet.
This is intense.
But they need the accoutrement. It's like that has to happen every year. And, you know, you're set on, this is the only meal that you pretty much have the same thing every year,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't like to add new things.
No, because then they want that next year. Now
exactly.
You've got 30 things on your table.
Exactly.
You can't manage all of it. Yeah.
No, you certainly can't.
Stick with the staples.
The stuffing, mashed potatoes, do you have corn? Because Jimmy Mack told me that every single person has canned corn with butter on the table every year. And I said, no, it's been your family, so that's why you think it's tradition.
I like cream spinach. I do a cream spinach.
See, I'd rather have that.
See, now
I'm
going
to add a new side dish now.
I've added something onto your table. Well, and the crazy making part about spinach is that I use like 4 containers, and you end up with this tiny little bowl
I know.
Of cream spinach. I was like, what happened to those massive containers?
See, that's not fair. This is why Bill does not speak very highly of Thanksgiving, because he said, there's no other meal that everyone talks about for weeks before and then weeks after, and you put so much work, and then the meal lasts 12 minutes.
But it's also the memory of it. It's a tradition of it, and it's, you know, some like my dad passed away in 2001, and I remember all the things that he loved having at the dining room table, although my dad and I would fight a lot during Thanksgiving, and you know what? You don't realize you're going to miss that, too.
I know.
We would fight about all kinds of things, you know.
And I'm half Italian. What is your heritage?
My dad was Irish. My mom's Mexican.
So all of them really revolve around food,
yes.
So we try to keep our deceased loved ones alive via food.
Exactly.
Jeez, we're screwed up, aren't we?
Bill, you're just mean. Patty, we want to talk about food.
Patty Vasquez is in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. All right, I'm waiting for Elvis to enter the building. All right, saw something in, where did I see it? Weather.com. I actually got an alert on my phone. I swear to God,
usually
I did.
For weather, you get like flooding, you know, alerts, or there's going to be a heavy storm. What kind of an alert did you get from your weather?
Warning, Will Robinson, warning. It said interstellar asteroid enters solar system.
Well, how do you prepare for that?
I don't know. So
precautions do you need to take?
We've got to find out. So from the Adler Planetarium, we have astronomer Dr. Mark Hammergren in the studio with us. Nice to see you, Mark.
It's very good to see you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I seriously got this alert from the Weather Channel. I forgot that's how I found out about it. And I said, we've got to know what's going on. First of all, what is this interstellar asteroid? I heard it's the first ever.
Yeah, so this is an asteroid. Appears to be a chunk of rock. It's not icy. It wasn't vaporized when it went past the sun. And interstellar means it's coming from outside our own solar system. So it's the first alien visitor.
Okay, now I know why you got the alert.
Meaning a rock, in this case, coming from outside our solar system.
So honestly, like in layman's terms, because, I mean, I love science and I love space and I love astronomy, but what does this mean?
Yeah, so we've discovered about a million asteroids, chunks of rocks, in our own solar system. They're the leftovers from the formation of planets. And for a long time, we've expected, well, if our solar system is kind of a commonplace kind of thing, other stars should have asteroids around them as well. Now, when our solar system was forming, it ejected trillions of icy comets and a bunch of rocky asteroids as well. And if that's the case, then other solar systems should have done that, too.
Yes, yeah.
Which means we should see them.
And how do we know it's from another... galaxy, what is it from? Solar system.
Solar system, yeah. Yeah, because it was moving far too fast to be bound by the gravity of the sun. So it's got an orbit that takes it screaming in from out in the middle of nowhere and heads right back out into space.
All right, is this not cool?
It's cool, but it freaks me out a little bit because this is a harbinger of more asteroids from another solar system to come. Is there something going on in another solar system that
are they shooting them at us?
Exactly.
Well, if anything happened, it would have happened hundreds of thousands to millions of years ago.
Okay.
Probably billions of years ago, even when you consider the age of our galaxy that we live in. Is this expected? Honestly, people have been predicting these things for decades now. This is the first one we've seen to prove that this thing can happen.
How excited are you that this was found?
Are you geeking out a little bit? Very much so, but up until May of this year, I was leading a project from the Adler using NASA funds to study near-Earth asteroids, and we would have jumped on top of this thing. But our funding ran out in the end of May. Yeah.
What the hell?
I know.
So what can we do to help? Do you have a GoFundMe page up there? Isn't this ridiculous for the Adler Planetarium? They've run out of money?
Oh, yeah. Not the Adler, myself.
Oh, yourself.
I had a grant from NASA. And it ran its course. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wanted more money from them, but they said, we got other priorities.
Can you send them, say, see what happens when you drop the ball on this kind of funding? Now we don't have the research there to work on this.
I might make that kind of conversation with them.
Yeah, I think you should.
All right, I thought this was pretty exciting. Now, it is named something which reminded me of the longest named fish from Hawaii, which is Humu Humu Nuku Nuku Apu A'a, I believe.
Now you're just making things
that
up.
That sounds really, really good, yeah.
I think that's it. It's the longest, it's like the national fish of Hawaii or something. Hawaii, as they say.
Ah.
And this is Oumuamua.
Oumuamua.
Oumuamua. That's the name of this.
Did you do the Google thing where it tells you how to say
it? No!
It seems
Hawaiian to me, though.
It's Hawaiian, yeah. It was discovered by a telescope team from Hawaii.
And I am smarter than I act. So they found it in Hawaii from a telescope looking at this.
Yeah, there's a great survey that's run off of the top of Mauna Kea in Hawaii. Called Pan-STARRS, and their team discovered this asteroid amongst the thousands of other discoveries they make, too.
It was discovered October 19th, and there is a picture. If you go to weather.com, or you can just look up, you'll never be able to
see. Oh, wow, mama.
Yeah,
wow,
you'll
mama,
never stop. Papa, ooh, wow, wow.
You
papa,
got it right.
Ooh, wow, wow. Oumuamua?
Oumuamua.
Oumuamua. Okay.
You got it.
It looks like, Patty, you said originally.
A plant. I think it looks like
a joint.
It looks like a joint, yep.
It looks like a French baguette.
Oh, yeah.
It looks maybe like an eel underground. Is this an actual photograph of it?
No, those are all artist's impressions.
Oh.
So, yeah, it was so small, relatively small and far away, that we couldn't see it as anything but a point of light. But we could see its light vary as it rotated. And that gave us an indication of its elongation.
But it's saying here that it's up to 1/4 mile wide.
Yeah, so that's just an estimate, too, based on a guess of its brightness.
I don't know. Is it just me, or does that seem kind of big?
That seems massive.
That's a middling-sized near-Earth asteroid, yeah.
So what if it hit into us?
Well, that would be bad, but we
we don't want that to happen. We're fingers crossed.
This one passed safely by millions of miles away from us.
All right, okay. So we're safe. This isn't anything.
No, it's already passed and going back out again.
But, I mean, it could hit into us, couldn't it, if these interstellar asteroids still, if they continue to enter our solar system. Do we have enough warning of them coming and... What was that big thing that was supposed to come and hit the Earth?
I try not to pay attention to those things. I don't get those alerts on my phone.
There was some asteroid that was going to take the Earth out or something, and I can't remember what it was, but my 14-year-old son was like, Mom, should we be worried about it? I said, no, I'm pretty sure NASA would let us know if we're in any danger.
Yeah, if not NASA themselves, then the individual astronomers like me, because we can't keep our mouths shut about these things.
Well, that's what we thought.
But what could we... I mean, if you alerted us, it would just make us panic, and there's not really much we can do to prepare
for... He said that, too, that maybe it is going to hit us, but they don't want to create mass hysteria. But what scientists could keep their mouths shut?
Yeah, that's a good point. Nobody. Nobody could keep it shut. Astronomers are blabbermouths about this stuff.
All right, we were talking off the air about The Martian, the movie with what's his
Matt
name?
Damon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bill was having a problem with it because there's some kind of catapulting thing that he thought would look very fake and wrong.
It ruined the whole movie for him?
It did. Okay. And Lucianne Walkowitz, a colleague of yours mm-hmm. from the Adler, was in here and said, Bill, that's pretty much the only part of the movie that was true and accurate and could happen, and he didn't know what to say.
She ruined his ruining of it.
Right. But now, you talk about scientists blurting and being excited. Something bothered you about Matt Damon's performance in The Martian.
Yeah, that's the single biggest problem I had with that movie. It wasn't the technical details. It was just his attitude. He's wisecracking. He's bored. From the very first scene, he's making cracks. I've got another soil sample here. Never once did he ever stand back and say, I am on freaking Mars.
maybe that was cut from the film.
But you're right, they would be geeking out about things like
totally.
That.
Even in the midst of a disaster, he'd be going, wow, isn't this crazy?
All right, say so. I don't know. I could see that being a problem.
What do we have going on at the Adler right now? Dr. Mark Hammergren, astronomer at the Adler. If I may just interject and interrupt myself, Lucianne Walkowitz has been on the show frequently. She's been our regular contributor from the Adler. She was voted by Business Insider magazine the 13th sexiest scientist ever. And I noticed that she has she's no longer at the Adler. She's taken a little leave. What is she doing?
Oh, she's still at the Adler. At least she has a position there. She's taking a sabbatical, though, to be the chair of astrobiology at the Library of Congress.
That's so
sweet. I think
sweet
we
gig.
Made her who she is today.
I think she owes you a great deal of debt.
My God.
Gratitude. Yeah, I think that she should be making a phone call.
She's in a rock band. She has tattoos. She is like, you know, scientists can be cool.
And
like
she's been on the Bill and Wendy show.
Right. Well, wish her our best, but now tell us what we have to look forward to at the Adler. I know you probably have some downtime after the big solar eclipse came and went.
Well, yeah, so the eclipse, of course, was very exciting, and we've got the holiday season coming up. So, you know, we have some extended hours. There are always very cool sky shows and exhibits going on there. So by all means, come down to the Adler. Bring your friends and family who are visiting from out of town.
All right. 312-981-7200. We're visiting with astronomer Dr. Mark Hammergren from the Adler. Space, the final frontier in a galaxy. A long time ago. How does it go? I should know that.
A galaxy far, far away.
Jimmy Mack is so mad at me right now, the Star Wars lover in there.
The men in our lives would be very disappointed with us.
Oh, well. Dr. Mark Hammergren is in the studio, astronomer at the Adler Planetarium. We were talking about this mysterious celestial object from another galaxy that I completely forgot I got a phone alert. About, but
I love to get a phone alert about an asteroid that you can do nothing about.
Well, it's Oumuamua, and it's the first confirmed object that has come from another star. That is correct, Mark, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
All right. It's not going to hurt us. Someone wants to know how fast it was going. Do we yet?
Yes.
Do we have the speed on that thing? About a half a mile or a quarter mile wide?
Yeah, so roughly maybe a quarter mile wide, depending on how bright the surface really was. At its close pass by the Earth, it was going a neighborhood of about 45 kilometers a second. So we're talking maybe 20, 25 miles per second. So very quick.
Wow.
A lot faster than...
Driverless cars hopefully don't go that fast. All right, that's pretty fast.
We don't know the intentions of this asteroid. If it's coming from another solar system, I'm very suspicious of it. We don't even know what it's made of, right?
There's
no
rock.
That's exactly right. Yeah, well, we think it's rock because it doesn't show any... As opposed to ice, because it shows no signs of vaporization when it went past the sun. And we have a rough idea of its color. which is reddish, so darkish and reddish, which is consistent with a lot of the things we've seen in our own solar system. So it's not terribly unusual in that respect.
Do you think there's life out there? Do you think there's another galaxy? I know your job may be on the line, so you can be careful how you answer since you're on the radio. Because I totally, we asked Buzz Aldrin, we had him on.
Yeah.
It's like, you've been up there. Do you think there's life out there? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah, it depends on what you mean by life. If you're talking about simple life, like bacterial life.
Like us.
Like us, like humans, intelligent life. I think, given the size of our universe and the likelihood that life of some kind is out there, I think intelligent life out there somewhere, yeah. I think it's
maybe
likely.
Not quite.
Maybe not
human.
Very common, though. Yeah, bacterial life, I would say, is very common. Every place on Earth that we look where life can exist, we see life that has evolved to take advantage of those conditions, and that's likely to be happening on any other place where the conditions are right.
Do you think people are watching us as we speak and planning and plotting against us?
Oh.
I don't, because...
I don't really either.
We've seen no signs of intelligent life yet in our galaxy.
And as you mentioned, it kind of would have already happened, correct?
You know, the galaxy is so old that any civilization that had the idea of colonizing the galaxy could have done that billions of years ago, and we see no evidence of that.
They're waiting for the right moment.
Well, it's like I liken it to The Walking Dead, you know, because you have your different groups that are trying to take control of everything and colonize basically the end of the world. So I don't know that they want to, why wouldn't they want to just kind of explore and see what's out there? Why do they want to destroy us? I don't know that they'd want to.
Well, and why would the opposite be true of us if we, you know, if we discovered another life form?
Yeah, would we want to shoot at it?
Well, any time an advanced civilization has contacted a less technologically advanced one here on Earth, disaster has resulted. So looking back at our own history, we can say, well, probably the less technologically advanced civilization is going to go through some great upheaval. Maybe not destruction, but a revolution of some kind.
All of a sudden, the glass is half empty. I don't know what happened, but let's get our quick call in. Denise, we don't have a lot of time, but real quickly here, do you have a question for Dr. Mark Hammergren from the Adler?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding the sun. I know that the sunlight reaches Earth in approximately 8.5 minutes. So what we're seeing now left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. Does that mean that when we look up and we see the disk of the sun, does that mean that disk is also 8.5 minutes
old
behind? So we're not actually seeing that disk now in current time. It's actually 8.5 minutes behind. And that's my question. Thanks for taking it.
That's a great question, and your conclusion is exactly right. It takes about 8.5 minutes for the sunlight to reach the Earth, going at about 186,000 miles per second. And so when you see the sun in the sky, you're not seeing it as it is, you know, quote-unquote, now. You're seeing it as it was when that light left it 8.5 minutes ago.
How did you know that, Denise?
I'm just a very mild amateur astronomist, and I've, you know, read in books, and I know that it takes 8.5 minutes to get here. And for that reason, I would imagine that disk is 8.5 minutes behind.
And disk, you mean the orb that you're looking at in there? All right.
But can you tell a difference of what from 1 minute to the next? You're like, that's not what it looked like a minute ago. I'll bet it looked different 8.5 minutes ago. Just don't look at it.
It is freaky.
No, I do not stare at it, no.
No, good
for you. Well, thank you for calling, Denise. And when's the last time you've been to the Adler? Because we were talking about this off the air. It's been a while, and I got to get back there. You should, too.
It's probably been 50 years, I'm guessing.
What?
Holy cow.
And you're kind of a, what did you call yourself? I don't want to offend you, but...
Very, very mild amateur astronomist. I frequent my library, so... I've just learned a lot about astronomy because of that.
Wonderful. I think you need a visit to the Adler. You should
Absolutely.
Go see Dr. Mark.
You were very welcome there. Yes.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye, Denise.
All right, so nothing to worry about, but there definitely is. I know you keep saying that.
Sorry, I can't help it.
Oumuamua, it is the first confirmed asteroid that has entered our solar system from another one. And thanks for, you really didn't make any sense of it other than we shouldn't be that worried.
Not worried. It's interesting scientifically. Yeah, it's cool. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. He's Dr. Mark Hammergren, and you can find him at the Adler Planetarium. And how can we help you with your NASA-funded project that is not funded?
Your Kickstarter for your research.
You know, the best thing anybody can do is just really keep reading about science and just pay attention to what's going out there. And that's our job, and we hope to do it well.
And what's the Adler website?
AdlerPlanetarium.org.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Doc.
Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Hey, how are you, Patty Vasquez?
I'm very well, Wendy Snyder. How are you doing?
I'm well myself. Bill Leff is off today. He will return tomorrow. He's just, nothing's wrong with him. He's just taking a day off. You asked me off the air if I'm participating in any kind of Cyber Monday thing.
Yeah, but I didn't do Black. Oh. We went to Black Friday shopping, by the way, after my show on Thursday night. We were at Kohl's at 2:30 in the morning. It was empty. It was
You worked on Thanksgiving Thursday.
I did, yes. I do my second Thanksgivings every Thanksgiving night. And
explain
shopping.
That.
We all of my regular guests come in. They bring their leftovers, and we tell stories about either that Thanksgiving day and how it went, or memories of Thanksgiving. And we just have a little on-air party.
That's nice.
And then we go to Kohl's right afterwards. The one over on Elston, I think. Yeah, right over there.
I thought that some people were not doing the open on Thanksgiving now because, you know, it ruins the family dynamic because people hurry up and eat and then they go shopping.
Yeah, I don't because we don't hurry up and eat. I think that if you just, you know, put it in the place where it belongs, you know, you prioritize. It's family, it's getting together, it's having, you know, wonderful conversations, and then you go shopping. You don't think about it till later.
But what do you need that you save so much? I mean,
there's something about going shopping in the middle of the night, because I'm a night owl. I love the fact that they're just open.
I wish it would be open all the time. Because sometimes I can't sleep, and honestly, right. I would be like, okay, well, I know there are some 24-hour Jewels or Mariano's or whatever.
And I end up there sometimes.
Yeah, it is kind of, I wish, like, it was Vegas, like, here.
That's what it feels like when you go to Kohl's in the middle of the night, you're like, I shouldn't
be here.
What'd
you buy?
I don't even, I think I bought something for my son for Christmas.
So you did actually purchase something.
I found something I really liked a lot. It wasn't even what I was looking for. Look at all these great kids. I wonder what the field trip is. Hi, everybody. There. I'm so easily distracted during the day in your studio because at night there's nobody out here.
Right.
Unless they're like, you know, sort of rubbing parts of their bodies on the window. Sorry, kids. I didn't mean to.
See, you get that. I don't get that. I'd rather get that. I get the school kids.
It's the school
kids. Patty's usually on from 11 p.m. till
2 a.m.
11 to 2.
See? And we went shopping at Kohl's afterwards. It was magical.
On Cyber Monday, what I was going to do was cyber bully you all day. That's what I was planning to do, but I changed my mind.
Just poke at me?
Yes. Yeah. I did not order anything. And again, unless you need like
There's
a TV.
But yeah, I know.
What? I mean, I needed MAC makeup, which never really goes on sale, so I didn't get. I ordered it this morning. It just happened to be Cyber Monday.
And
no special deal.
No special deal. Not even a free gift?
Oh, I did get a free mascara, like a travel size mascara.
I have about 85 mascaras because every company gives them away as a free gift.
And you have not found the perfect one yet,
have
you?
I have not yet found the perfect one.
Because that is my forever quest. I can never find the perfect mascara.
And this is where guys think we're crazy. But
yes.
It makes a difference.
Yes, because, and as Bill will attest to, if you see me without mascara, my eyelashes are very blonde and non-existent, and I look like James Spader, which is not really good for me or for him.
No one wants to hear that. Even
no.
James Spader doesn't want to hear that.
I know.
He doesn't want to hear that he looks like himself.
So,
although he's a handsome guy.
He is, but I don't want to look like him. I looked like Tom Petty for a while, but... kind of the love child of those two, God rest his soul, Tom Petty.
Ah, such a great man.
So now Thanksgiving's over. Have you put up your Christmas decorations yet?
No. You know why? Because I can come here and enjoy the decorations by tree time. These are beautiful. We've been pretty bad about decorating, but this is great weather. If we're going to do it, this is the week to do it and get it done. If you have outdoor decorations, do you outdoors?
Yeah, but I'm getting my knee replaced, so I'm like, I'm not doing anything this year.
No, you should not.
But Jim claims he's going to do it.
Do you do the inflatables?
I got to watch what I say, but no.
Okay.
I don't know that I'm a fan of the inflatables. Do you do inflatables?
We have one inflatable that we like. It's a snowman that we've had for 15 or 16 years. We call him Winston.
Oh, I like that he's named.
He's named, yeah. So he's kind of part of the family. And he's a very handsome snowman. You know, he's got a nice vest. He's got the nice top hat. There are people who overdo it, though, where they have just, like, eclectic. They've got the Snoopy.
And, like, 20 of them.
Yeah. And then during the day, it's just, like, inflatable carcasses on their
front
lawn. It's very strange.
See, I feel if you make the commitment to have an inflatable whatever, you should leave it inflated all the time.
All the time. And be specific. Use them sparingly. Don't just throw, you know, a ragtag group of inflatables on your lawn. It's overdoing it. There's one in our neighborhood. It's a huge inflatable archway over the sidewalk. That it's a bit, there's something kind of grand about it. It's tacky, but it's also kind of like, well, you know what? They're having fun with that one.
But what does that even mean?
It's a huge. It says Merry Christmas, and you walk through your arch every day. Maybe you're going into magical Christmas land at that house. I don't know.
When did the inflatables start? You said you've had
yours like 15 or 16 years. So I would say in the last 18, 20 years is when the inflatables started?
Yeah, but I can almost see it with Christmas, but then they have inflatable turkeys for Thanksgiving.
We tried very hard to find one. No, we just had a light on our bush. We were looking for an inflatable turkey. We have an inflatable cat for Christmas. I mean, that would be weird. For Halloween. You know what? I think we should have the inflatable cat with Winston the snowman out. I say just put them all up. Just, you know, whatever you have, just blow them up.
I just am not a fan. You don't leave yours inflated the whole time, though, right?
No. During the day, Winston takes a nap.
How does Winston get excited? How do you...
Just plug him. He's on a timer. So at night, because he's a, you know...
How does air get up his ass?
There's
a pump that goes in there.
There's a pump in there, yeah.
So I guess that will inflate your electric bill as well, so that's why you turn it off at night?
That's a very good point. Well, I also think it just, because he lights up, you know, I'm pretty sure we deflate him during the day. He's on a timer. So when it's dusk, he pops up.
Can we get, like, some kind of metal pole or something to put into him so he just doesn't fall flat to the ground? Because that's what I think bothers me about these inflatables.
All right, I will see if we can keep him inflated 24/7, but I'm going to do
this
the week of.
Your electric bill's going to go crazy.
I'll just do it the week of. Well, the other thing is when it gets windy out, like, you have to stake him down and make sure he doesn't go drifting off.
Oh, it's going to look like the Macy's Day Parade?
Exactly. And we'll tell you exactly how big it is with every float that comes down the street.
Going back to that, when's the last time you watched the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
I don't think I've ever seen it because it's early. Isn't it like 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you work late.
Yeah, I sleep, yes. I used to fill in with, Steve Cochran used to fill in for Spike Odell every Thanksgiving. So I'd be down here, so I never saw it then. You'd see all the, you know, all the cars coming down and people lining up waiting for it. But I've never seen it.
But the Macy's one, it's in New York, and it's all inflatables. And, I mean, I just want to know, this is the first year I really kind of paid attention as I was chopping veggies for the stuffing. Is that all they do is like, oh, here's Underdog. He is a crazy 500 feet in length.
They do love that, don't they?
Well, who cares?
I don't know. I'd rather see the bands, you know, and a lot of the...
lip syncing. I don't even know who some of these people are. There were dancing raisins and Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, no.
It was crazy town.
Nah, marching bands. And
I like that.
Like the best thing in Chicago are the Jesse White tumblers in every parade. They're the best thing.
And the drum corps, I kind of love those guys.
They mean it.
And girls.
Yes.
They do mean it.
Yeah. It's
intense. I love it. Oh, little Michael Jackson. I'm still kind of getting over the death of David Cassidy.
I know. It feels like we didn't have a chance to even talk about that because we were all kind of on holiday. But I had a big crush on him, too.
He was one of my first hanging the poster up on the wall from Tiger Beat magazine.
Aww.
Tony DeFranco was in that group. Do you remember the DeFranco family?
No.
Donny Osmond.
Sure.
Wrote a love letter to Donny Osmond. I had this Hobie, a.k.a. Mushroom Stationery, that was really psychedelic. And I think all I wrote on it was, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Right back.
No, because my mom wouldn't give me a stamp to mail it until she read it. And I said, but it's all sealed. I can't open it up. I wrecked this Hobie stationery that I got in Berwyn. I can't do it. And she's like, then I'm not giving you a stamp to mail it. So I never mailed it. And who knows, I could have been Mrs. Donny Osmond.
What did you think you were writing to Donny
Osmond? Well, I did write, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Okay. And
how does that hurt anyone?
Yeah.
Maybe left my phone number.
That's rather lovely.
My address.
She worried he'd come find you.
I don't know.
I only wrote one fan letter ever, and that was to Michael J. Fox. I had a big crush on Michael J. Fox. He did not write me back, but
he didn't.
No,
because you hear some of these celebrities that do write people back.
I didn't even get like the sort of stock reply from even
fake fan letter.
No, no, that's all right. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm over it. I don't even. Yeah,
his Family Ties days.
Yep, right around when Back to the Future.
Did you like Reagan? Like you did?
Alex P. Keaton.
Yeah.
With his poster up there. Yeah.
He, do you watch Curb?
No, I don't.
He's been featured on several episodes, a very funny episode. And two weeks ago, Michael J. Fox is really funny on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He's so talented.
Really funny, kind of poking fun at himself. And he's still adorable.
Oh, he really? He was on The Good Wife. Did you ever watch that
No, I
that
never
series?
Watched that
He was
show.
Very good on that show.
What did you write to Michael J. Fox?
I'm sure it was something about how much, how cute he was and how funny he was.
How old are you?
Family Ties. I don't know. I was like 10 or something. Yeah.
That's about the age I was writing to Donny Osmond.
I was in love with him. I was doing the math. I'd be like, I might know you're 15 years older than I am. I'm sure it was something like, oh, if you could just wait for me.
Well, see, at least now I feel like he's kind of a jerk for not writing back to you. Donny Osmond, I can't call a jerk because he never got the letter from me, which could have changed everything. You could have been Patty Fox, Patty J. Fox.
I don't think so. I
could have been Wendy Osmond.
His wife, Tracy, is lovely.
She is pretty lovely. All right, well, holiday time. I love Christmas. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't get enough of it. It's getting to be a pain buying presents for people.
Yeah, I got to figure out a way to sort of circumvent that.
We do lists.
That's a good idea. Because like wish lists?
People do, like even as simple as here's my wish list on Amazon, and then you just pick what you want and you order it. Because then I hate getting stuff that I don't need or don't want because I'm not a gracious gift getter.
Oh, really?
If I don't need it or like it, it's hard for me to fake it.
You're like, oh, this thing you got me. Excellent.
Do you have is the gift receipt in here? I'm picky. I want what I want.
I don't blame you at all. I think that I don't like having more clutter in my house.
Yeah.
So if it's not something I need, I'm the same way too. We need to do lists. For my extended family, I now like say, please make a donation, that kind of a thing. Send them a link.
Oh, you're nice.
What?
Seriously?
Well, to the people who in my family, my son, as you watch the videos, Declan's
love him.
Declan has a disability, which is called the corpus callosum disorder, and there are people in my family, my husband's side of the family, that don't even acknowledge Declan when we're around for the holidays. Like they don't say hi to him, they don't talk to him, they're uncomfortable. So in order to maybe educate them, I send them links to websites and say, in lieu of a present for us, please make a donation to the corpus callosum disorder.
I watch these videos, and you can follow Patty Vasquez on Facebook, and I'm fascinated by it because you are filming your son from behind to kind of protect his face, so, it's like he can't give you permission to do it.
Right.
So you do a good job with that, and I'm just fascinated by watching what he looks at and what he sees, and sometimes people do look strangely. I don't know if it's at Declan, though. I think it's at you filming him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are people who definitely, they stare a lot. I remember one time I was at the Millennium Park, and one kid was just that slack-jawed staring. And as we walked by, he was staring, and then one of his siblings was staring. I mean, at one point, the entire family was, just slack-jawed staring at Declan. So I turned to the father, and I go, I know. My son's adorable. I can't stop looking at him either.
That's pretty sweet.
But I mean, that's after, he's 12 now, and that's from many years of people staring or asking questions like, what's wrong with him? I'm more patient. I pick my moments. But yeah, I mean, people stare even when I'm not filming. And you know, I was mentioning this yesterday on the video. I tend to do it when we're having fun or we're exploring something. I have done one video where I'm kind of on edge, where I was sort of losing it about a year and a half ago. We were in Philadelphia, and I think I would like to share more of when it's hard, because I think I'm showing too much of like, this is when we're having a good time and Declan's, you know, having
and it's not always that easy. I know.
No,
it can't be.
It's not. And I don't want parents who have children with disabilities to be like, you know, well, we're not there. We're not able to enjoy, you know, being in public as much as we are. But those are the moments that I'm choosing. So I probably should share more of when it's really a struggle. But well, he's lovely.
He's a great kid from what I see on these videos. It's just fascinating for me to watch. And if you have kids that don't have a disability, life is not always perfect with them either. So
sure.
When I watch your videos, it seems like, oh my God, you know, he listens to you. He does what you say. His hair is clean. He's dressed nicely. I mean, I have kids that sometimes their hair is greasy. They are right. Flipping me off and doing terrible things to their mom, making fun of me and mocking me.
And that's the thing. I can't videotape. Like, when we get ready for school in the morning, like today before I left to come down to the station.
It's
like
a lot.
He was like headbutting. I mean, like, he gets really, because he can't talk.
Right.
He gets very frustrated and he starts biting his knuckle. Sometimes I'll show you guys his finger because he bites it down almost to the knuckle. To the bone, and he gets very frustrated. And the mornings are rough. I don't know how my husband does it most mornings because I'm not awake.
You're working at night and you sleep in.
So, I mean, I was wrestling with him today to try to get him ready for the bus, and it's exhausting. You know, he's a strong kid. There are times, believe me, when there are things I'll tell you off the air that people don't want to know about. But, I mean, he can't go to the bathroom by himself. He wears diapers. So, you know, imagine, you know, remember how happy you were when you got your kid out of diapers.
Free.
Yeah, and to know that you will probably never get there. But that's just part of the package, you know. You just kind of do it. People always ask me, I don't know how you do it. And I mean,
you have to do it.
I don't have a choice.
Right.
Yeah, you just do it. You just show up.
Please watch Patty's videos. How do people search them?
Hashtag, you can go hashtag what Declan sees or hashtag walking with autism are the ways that I tag them a little bit.
I love them. They're really good. Keep it up. Great work.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mini Luau. Bill Leff is not here today. He's working on Christmas carols.
Sorely missed. Is he really?
No. But he will be back tomorrow. Patty Vasquez is sitting in his chair today. And Eric Zorn is here sitting in his own chair, which he does each and every Monday at about this time.
How are you? Nice to see you, Patty.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
The bumper music there we played was Calypso Noel, which is a song that we did at last year's Songs of Good Cheer, which is this thing that Mary Schmeek and I have been doing for the last 19 years at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Have you heard of this? Have either of you heard of it?
I've not heard of this event.
It's this great Chicago tradition that we started. Mary wrote a column back in, 20 years ago now, saying nobody sings Christmas carols anymore. And it's just a tradition that's gone away. And
I love Christmas carols. I love so much going to church on Christmas because you can sing Christmas carols during Mass. To me, that is the most fun ever. I love Christmas carols.
It's some of the greatest music there is. It really is. And so what I did was I said, okay, Mary, well, I bet we can get people out to sing Christmas carols. I said, let's have a party at the Old Town School. We'll get some of our friends who are really good musicians up there. Because, I hang out with people from the Old Town School because of my other interests. And
you're fiddling.
My fiddling.
You're a fiddler.
And, yeah, I'm a fiddler. Awesome. Absolutely. So we arranged this thing. I said, okay, we'll do this. We recruited some musicians up there. We said, and we printed up some song sheets, and we announced it, and it sold out right away. So we had another one. We said, okay, well, we'll do a second one. We did a second one. That sold out right away. And this was, like I said, 19 years ago. And so and what we did was we did, like, a lot of the basics, the standards that you do, you know, Angels We've Heard on High, or Come All You Faithful, things like that. And then we would go deeper into the tradition, and that's what the Calypso Noel that we played now, and we'll play another clip in a few minutes, I hope, from something else. Another way we twist the traditions. This year we're going to be doing the Hallelujah Chorus. But we're doing it as a polka. So, we've been doing this for 19 years. And the secret to it, Mary Schmeek is a really good piano player. And I play like a fiddle and guitar. But we have people on our cast who are much better at all these things than either of us are. But what we do is we recruit like these
real musicians.
Ace musicians.
I shouldn't say real, but.
No, they are. are real. They're definitely real. They're professionals, and they we start meeting in August, trying to prime new material, and we sprinkle it in with the old material. And we hand out these songbooks. Scott Stannis, who's a good friend of Patty's, sure. he does the cover for our program this year. I mean, he's done it many times, and he always comes and sings with us.
I do a mean Santa baby. Maybe some year I can play with you guys.
Yeah. Santa baby? Really?
Yeah, I don't sing anything alone. I like singing in a crowd with other people with, you know, wonderful melodies.
So we've been doing this, like I said, for 19 years, and it just keeps getting bigger. And this year we're doing 6 shows. And
wow, it started as 1, then you added a second, and now 6. Great job, you guys. And
of course it's for charity. You know, I mean, the proceeds go to charity. Mary and I don't make any money out of it.
Chicago Tribune Foundation.
Yeah. And so anyway, it's at the Old Town School, and there are a few tickets left for some of the shows now. They're on December 6th through 10th, so a week from Wednesday through Sunday, in the evenings and then Saturday afternoon too. So if anyone's interested, can we play that one, the second one that I brought in? This is how we do, another song that.
This, Eric. Like doing a jig. A toe tapper for sure.
So we take all the sentiment out of that one. But we do, you know, we always do Silent Night. We always do.
The Pogues.
No, it's really like I say. The musicians we have are terrific. They really are wonderful. And like I said, we do a quarter. We've added a whole bunch of horns. We started off as more of like a folky thing with strings, and now it's like it's basically a klezmer band. So
what does that mean?
Well, like Jewish music with a clarinets and that's we do all kinds of stuff. So and we do some Hanukkah songs. We do some pop songs, a lot of pop songs, and some religious songs. Mix it all up. So
you know that's what I love about the holidays is the music.
It's a great way to get in the spirit.
It is, and I haven't mentioned it really on my appearances here because I always feel like it's too soon to talk about it until after Thanksgiving, right? I mean, we're all doing other. We're doing this at Labor Day. We're meeting and talking about this, and my wife is like, "No, I don't want to hear these songs." And of course, through October, we're getting into it. But nobody wants to hear about it until after Thanksgiving, when it's almost too late. Because we try to do it early in December, so that people. Because I know it's such a busy season for so many people. So
absolutely.
So anyway, the Old Town School, and if you go to chicagotribune.com/Zorn, people can get tickets and come out and sing with us. It's really. People say, a lot of people come to it and they say, like, it's a lot less queer than I thought it was going to be. Like
a lot less queer?
Well, you know, like
corny?
Like corny, yeah. Right. Like corny and weird and yeah, it's not at all. It's not earnest the way people think of folk music as being really earnest. It's not. We're not at all earnest
about it. It's fun.
It's really fun. So.
And it starts Wednesday, December 6th.
6th through the 10th.
And you can go oldtownschool.org to find out more info or send them to your place.
ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn or Old Town School. I don't know the phone number off the top of my head. But anyway, it's a lot of fun, and I hope people come out and sing with us.
Songs of Good Cheer with Mary Schmeek and Eric Zorn. It's so wholesome and wonderful. Can we take a break and come back and talk about things that aren't very warm and wholesome?
It is wholesome, but let's talk about things that aren't so wholesome.
We'll do that when we come back. It's 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Patty Vasquez. Eric Zorn, 720. Why do you laugh at me?
Because you're just doing it so...
Honestly...
Almost aggressively correct.
For as many years as I've known you, which has been a long time, I've always said Vasquez.
Which is fine.
But now I hear Steve Cochran say Vasquez, and I'm like, oh my God, for all these years I've said your name
and
wrong.
She's been stewing about it.
No, I have not. That's the thing.
It's Patty Vasquez. In for Bill, 720 WGN. This sounds like Halloween music. We're in the wrong category here, Cassara. Jasmine, our producer, is not here today either. She's having some dental problems.
Oh, no.
Bill is not here. Bertrand was here. Whatever. He'll be coming up.
He's nowhere to be found now. He's hiding.
He's coming up in 10 minutes on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Patty Vasquez is here, and she will be sitting in on everyone's show. She was on Steve Cochran's. She was on with me. Are you going to be on the Business Lunch?
I don't know. Maybe I'll just hang out in his studio and just kind of
if you just refuse to leave, what's he going to do?
Exactly.
He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you leave.
It's a sit-in.
Eric Zorn is here, Chicago Tribune columnist, and we were talking of his Songs of Good Cheer with Mary Schmeek that he will be doing at the Old Town School of Music, Folk Music, Wednesday, December 6th through the 10th. That's wholesome and warm and lovely and family-like, and the other side of the news is not so wholesome.
Not so much, right? Yeah. The sex harassment stories just keep coming. And, you know, we've gotten to media and we've gotten to, you know, entertainment and politics. But this problem cannot be isolated to those industries, right?
Well, you're not going to hear big stories about, you know, businesses in Chicago. I mean, like where it's happening in restaurants or in retail or in
Why
offices.
Why not? Why are we not hearing about that?
Why would we hear about that? It's just happening, you know, and hopefully women feel confident enough, empowered enough to go, you know what, enough's enough. But it's not going to be a big news story unless, you know, there are lawyers that want to say, oh, we're seeing a big uptick in how many complaints we're getting or how many cases we're dealing with.
I think there are going to be some prominent CEOs, probably some prominent restaurateurs to, you know, to
there already industry. Wasn't there one restaurant that the chef already or the owner already quit?
Yeah. I mean, this is, I think it's, you know, right now it seems like it's focused on certain areas of commerce, but it is really has got to be everywhere. It's not like men of a certain kind get into these particular niches in their professions. But what Patty's saying, I think, is really true, which is that the awareness is going to grow of women who are saying being sexually harassed in a restaurant setting or in a construction office setting, and they're going to realize that they don't have to take this, that this is not acceptable. And so that's, I mean, that's the good news. I mean, it's horrible news that keeps coming out. I heard this morning that the defenders of Judge Roy Moore are saying that because, remember Ringo Starr hit, she's 16, you're 16, you're beautiful
and you're 9. Yeah.
This sort of justifies or vindicates his interest in teenage girls because this was the way things were. And that was when was that song? About the mid-70s, right?
Yeah.
So this was perfectly okay. And I do remember that song. Do you remember that song, Patty?
Oh, I totally remember it.
I can't remember.
She's all ribbons and curls. Ooh, what a girl. Lips that sparkle and shine. You're 16. Wah, wah. So beautiful.
Did it strike you?
It didn't.
That it was like extremely creepy? How old was Ringo Starr back then? He was probably 40, right? And he's singing about
Is he talking about his daughter? No. I don't know.
No. Yeah, nice try for a save there. But no, I mean,
I'm gonna give it some context.
But it was never okay. It was never okay to sexually assault 14-year-olds, and the whole Roy Moore thing. But you know, this I think that the culture is shifting. You're gonna play it now?
Yeah, I just want to give you a little. Sorry, because you'll remember it. It was
popular. No, I remember the song.
Pretty creepy too.
Yeah, it's all creepy now. It was creepy then.
It was creepy then to you because it sure wasn't to me.
Can you find out?
It should have been creepy, maybe.
I'm really curious how old Ringo was when he sang that.
Let's see.
You keep talking. No. I would guess in his 30s, maybe.
Oh, I was going to say 40, but that's probably too old. Yeah, I mean, because that was 40 years ago.
So Roy Moore is saying that this is basically his
defenders.
Theme song?
His defenders. He's not really saying. Apparently, he's not even going to debate his opponent in this special election.
But there's so many stories about, you know, now there are retired police officers saying, oh, when we were working the football games, we were told to keep them away from the cheerleaders. There are people who said, yeah, we knew around town. When is there enough, you know, sort of collaboration on that?
Well, what's happened here? I think that probably most people in Alabama believe these stories from 40 years ago. They're saying two things. One is it was 40 years ago. I don't know how old he is now. He's in his 60s now. Or is he
maybe
even
70?
He's even 70. I'm not sure how old he is. And this is a long time ago. He's no longer a threat to teenage girls. And they're saying that it's more important to me as a voter to have somebody in the Senate who is going to, you know, cover the Republican line, mm-hmm. who's going to be, you know, pro-Second Amendment, who's going to be anti-abortion,
right.
And so on. That's more important to me than the morality of this man, of his past.
Of his character.
Yeah, and you know, I guess he sort of... ask yourself, have we become so polarized? Have we become so, have we gone into our corners so deeply that we're not going to consider character at all when we're elected?
Well, that's what was so disturbing about Nancy Pelosi saying that Conyers is an icon or a legend, you know, that's why he needs to stay. And it's time for him to go.
It's time for him to go. He is an icon. There's no question about that. But what troubled me about the Nancy Pelosi interview yesterday, we're talking about Meet the Press. You guys have talked about this already this morning, so Meet the Press yesterday, and Chuck Todd sort of challenges her, like, do you believe these stories? And she goes, well, I don't even know who they are. I don't know. Who knows who they are? Have they come forward yet? And act sort of fuzzing it up like, we don't know. And there's a lot of evidence that's out there that she knows. She's in a position to know. And I thought that was, she was dancing around this. It turns out that she was behind the scenes pressuring him to step down from his leadership role, which he did. And I think she's probably trying to ease him out of Congress right now. But it was not a very satisfying answer on her part. It wasn't a principled answer. So.
I don't feel like there's anybody who's being principled on this on either side. You know, when you see Donald Trump on his way out for Thanksgiving weekend say, well, we just can't have a liberal, so we'll take Roy Moore, regardless of the charges or the allegations.
And he denies it, by the way.
He denies it.
That's what you ask the accused person. That's the way to figure out whether something wrong is going.
Yes.
1974 was the year that You're 16 by Ringo Starr was released, so you have to figure out how old he was, because I found some fascinating other facts.
you went down a rabbit hole of information.
It reached number one. That song.
Okay.
It was written by the Sherman Brothers, who are famous for writing Disney classics like Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and It's a Small World. The first recording of the song, You're 16, was by Johnny Burnett in 1960. His version featured in the 1973 movie American Graffiti. The song has been around. This is interesting. Ringo got a lot of help on this solo effort, and on this track, Harry Nilsson sang backup. Paul McCartney made that noise that sounds like a kazoo. Wah, wah. Others who contributed to the album include John Lennon, George Harrison, Rick Danko from the band, Nicky Hopkins, Levon Helm, and Mark Bolan. So 1974, it was released. It went to number one.
We don't know how old Ringo was here.
What year was he born? I guess.
You guys have computers and phones in front of you, don't you?
Somebody's got to figure this out.
Someone has to know how old he was at the time.
Was Ringo a good drummer?
He was a basic drummer. Nothing fancy. No John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. He was all right.
Was it? Because I'm not that into drumming that I would know the difference whether he was is an adequate drummer or a really good drummer. Was he like the big question, is he the luckiest guy in the history of the music industry?
I don't know, but
he was born
in 1940, so he would have been 34 in 1974.
34, so that's still...
It's about the same Roy Moore, that's so...
Yeah, Roy Moore was 32, apparently, when he was out there being kicked out of the shopping mall. So
I sang to every word of that song. I never thought it was weird. I never really saw the video till now.
Baby, it's cold outside. There's like the songs now, Christmas songs, where they're saying that it's more rapey or
I really should stay, but no, come on. It's, you know. Yeah, but I mean, you could turn anything into anything.
Exactly. But the 16-year-old one, I don't know. I mean, I remember thinking
it was catchy though, Patty.
I think I heard it as another teenager singing it to her. Maybe that's the way I heard it. But when you think about it as Ringo Starr being 34,
or you think of it as a 17-year-old singing it to a 16-year-old,
that would be fine.
But what are some of these other songs that are kind of nice songs, but you know, like Every Breath You Take, which is about stalking, right?
A little stalkery.
Yes. Well,
Every breath you take.
I'll be watching you.
And I remember kind of enjoying that song and never really thinking about what the lyrics were saying. So we'll have to explore
that another day because we are way late. Bertrand's going to be so mad at us.
Well, he's not even here yet.
Oh, yeah, he will be.
He's come up the ramp.
Eric, thank you very much.
Good to see you.